Welcome to Nutrition for Me on UK Health Radio, your global feel-good radio. Today's show is brought to you in collaboration with Revive Active, our show's sponsor, Ireland's number one super supplement brand. Enjoy Revive Active's range of super supplements and feel great. Revive Active have teamed up with UK Health Radio to offer our listeners an exclusive discount so you can test their supplements for yourself and start feel super. Just go to reviveactive.com and use Radio20 to get 20% off their entire range, including their capsule collection, including Calm. I'm Dora Walsh, personalized nutritional therapist and functional medicine practitioner, supporting you to overcome your health problems like obesity, hard to lose weight, low immunity, autoimmune problems, chronic fatigue, skin conditions, digestive problems, out of control cravings, and much more. Join me each week as I delve into the fascinating world of health and nutrition, focusing on the most important tips and nutritional advice that can really aid us in our quest for health, energy, and longevity. This week, we're talking about a calm approach to life. Never before has the topic of inner resilience been more important to enable us to face life calmly. People are living with more pressure than ever, financial pressures, political unrest, and global environmental challenges. Do you experience bouts of broken sleep? Are you juggling a family, a relationship, or the pressure of your workload? And on the upper end of the scale, you might be feeling on edge or even feel the physical symptoms of pressure. Today on the Nutrition for Me show on UK Health Radio, we're shining the spotlight on the things we can do to support ourselves to feel more at ease despite what life throws at us. How do we support ourselves, and how can that really make a difference in our life and transform how we feel? This week, we're talking to Jenna Nelson, Revive Active health expert and founder of Jenna Nelson Wellness. Jenna is a nutritional therapist and health coach working with Revive Active, providing fantastic nutritional content for Revive Active customers to benefit from, plus being the owner and founder of her own wellness consultancy. Jenna works primarily with women, from corporate leaders to those with busy lifestyles who have always powered through their lives but started to feel jaded. She provides transformational health programs that, in her own words, provide them with a champion in their corner and help them to get their mojo back. So there's no better person to understand and expound on a calm approach to life. Welcome to the show, Jenna. Can you share with us how you came to be a Revive Active health expert and a nutritional therapist focusing on women's health through your private practice, and tell us about the objectives of the programs and the mentoring you provide?
Hi, Doris. It's great to be here with you. I got into nutritional therapy. I graduated in 2016, but years prior to that, I had experienced ongoing bloating, digestive issues. I was always tired, always headachy, but was always interested in the human body. So long story short, I embarked on a 3-year diploma with the College of Naturopathic Medicine, where I learned all about the biopsychosocial model that impacts our health and our well-being. Graduated in 2016 and have been in private practice since then, working with individuals to help them join the dots between what they eat and how they feel and how it's making them feel.
You've applied what's worked for you and changed your life, supporting other people as well to change how they feel. Today, we're talking about a calm approach to life, a key topic at this time. Who should listen and benefit from today's show?
For me, it's people who've experienced bouts of broken sleep, people who are juggling family, relationship and workload pressures, everyday situations that leave them feeling anxious, more anxious than you used to do. And then at the other end of the scale, feeling anxious or on edge and feeling the physical symptoms of pressure.
For listeners today that are tuning in, if you have experienced bouts of broken sleep, if you're juggling family, relationships and workload pressures, do everyday situations leave you feeling more anxious than you used to? And on the upper end of the scale, are you feeling more anxious, on edge, or even feeling the physical symptoms of pressure? In that case, Jenna, these people listening today should stay tuned in to our show and what we're going to be talking about, because I think you have a lot to share on different tips and things you can do to support yourself. Could you share with us the red flags that show us that the body and the mind may be less resilient to everyday pressure?
Yeah, so I see this often in clinic when I'm working with clients. And the biggest aspect is that they often don't know to join the dots, or that dots even join in the first place. So something that jumps out at me often is people coming in with poor sleep. So they will be individuals that might fall asleep, but then waking up at some point in the evening or during the early hours of the morning, and then they can't get back to sleep. So in some way, their sleep is broken, or they struggle to fall asleep because they have racing minds and racing thoughts. So they might wake up in the morning, if they've managed to get some sleep, they don't feel rested. So waking up feeling tired and almost wired. Other signs are digestive issues, so feelings of bloating, cramping, combined with fatigue. Hair loss is another one that I see often, and that can correlate with a thyroid that's possibly not working adequately. So they would need to talk to their doctor about looking at their thyroid. Feelings of jitteriness, so feeling on edge, heart racing. And then another one that I see people talk about is weight around the abdomen. So it's known colloquially as a cortisol belly. So it's where they are experiencing an accumulation of fat around the abdomen. And they say that it's difficult to shift. So no matter what they're doing, they can't seem to shift this weight from their abdomen.
What about panic attacks?
Yes, and that's something I've experienced as well. So that sort of racing heart rate for no apparent reason as well. And it's very disconcerting and very unnerving, and especially if you don't know or don't understand the reason why it's happening.
You've talked about all of these red flag symptoms that show us that the body may be less resilient to everyday pressures, difficulty focusing, distractions, poor sleep, feeling of fatigue, digestive issues, high blood pressure, hair loss sometimes, cortisol belly, jitteriness, heart palpitations, more emotional, irritable, hair loss, panic attacks. It's a never-ending list, isn't it?
It is, and it is a lot. But our expertise is helping people join the dots, as I said at the beginning. It's not just one thing, it's cumulative, and it's lots of different things for different reasons. So helping someone to identify the dots and then start to piece it together is powerful.
Yeah, because somebody might have digestive issues like constipation or diarrhea alternating, i.e. IBS, and not realise this is all linked. They just think, oh, I just got a bit of funny tummy. But they've been having it a long time and not really connecting that dot. Same with sleep.
Yes, and sleep's the cornerstone of optimal well-being. If you're not well-rested and you're not well-slept, it has a compounding effect. So it will then knock on to dysregulation of other systems within the body. So helping someone recognise where they're not well slept and not well rested, for me, is a foundational element that I want to support them to correct so that we can build on that.
It's so good to know that there are things that we can do to support ourselves if we experience these red flags. Obviously, it's always good if one is worried to go to the doctor and check things out. But also good to know that from a nutritional perspective and a lifestyle perspective and a self-care perspective, there's so much we can do to help ourselves. And I'm looking forward to delving into that in our show today. Now, I guess you probably see a lot of these types of clients in your clinic, so you're quite used to connecting those dots for your clients and giving them the right nutritional solutions, the right supplements. But before we talk about that, let's talk about the coping mechanisms that people are using now to push those red flags to one side. Because sometimes people don't automatically think, oh, a healthy diet's going to help me. Oh, I think I need to try and work on my sleep hygiene, or maybe I should take some supplements to support my nervous system. They're doing other things first, aren't they?
Yeah, and by the nature of what is physiologically occurring in the body, the stress hormones, cortisol and adrenaline and noradrenaline, are surging. So in that moment, it's very difficult for an individual to make concerted, quote-unquote, good choices, because that primal part of their brain is in survival mode, so that they're likely in fight or flight. Coping mechanisms become something that takes the edge off. And in that moment, they're helpful, but they become entrenched in that individual's lifestyle, and it can be difficult to backwind from that. They're not inherently bad or good. It's when we overuse them that they can become a crutch. So things like caffeine. Caffeine isn't inherently bad. But if you're using it to get yourself out of bed in the morning because you literally don't have the energy or the drive to engage in your day, for me as a practitioner, I would want to look at why is that, and can we start to tap into that individual's natural hormones to allow them to get out of bed with energy and vitality. Alcohol is the other end of the scale, where societally in the UK rely on alcohol in some instances to wind down in the evening. So it takes the edge off of what might have been a difficult day. And then pushing through, we have a bit of a mentality that we see asking for help as a bit of a weakness or a sign of failure. So we push through and tell ourselves, I've got this. And then, of course, from the food perspective, we've got snacking and overeating. It's widely known that food gives us a nice dopamine lift and it takes the edge off and makes us feel good. So looking at what that individual is reaching for in those moments of where they're not feeling harmonious within themselves.
Did you ever use any of these coping mechanisms yourself when you were in the corporate world before you became a health expert?
Yes, I did. And interestingly, it was around food as well, which drew me more into understanding more about how food can be used as medicine and as has healing aspects to it. But before that, I didn't know anything about nutrition. And I look back now and I'm horrified at the way that I used to eat. And it was all about survival and just getting through the day and then on to the next task and the next project.
I used to work on the sales floor of this busy corporate company. It was an international company. And it was all literally, they used to bring in big boxes of donuts for treats for the salespeople.
Yeah.
And the salesperson, I was a researcher actually. And it was really, people were being powered by donuts. And I'll be honest with you, Jen, it does feel good at the time because the sugar gives you a hit.
Yeah.
The coffee wakes you up. You feel like a bit of adrenaline, a bit of a kick.
Yeah.
And then you get on the phone, you feel confident, but it doesn't last long.
No, that within the sort of half an hour to hour after that, the crash is horrible and it's worse than where you started out. So then you need more coffee and donuts. And then before you know it, you're stuck on some kind of coffee donut roller coaster that you can't get off of.
Do you see your clients addicted to coffee or sugar and relying on those things a lot yourself?
I do, yeah. When I am so part of their consultation, they'll fill in a food diary for me. And yeah, I see that often. And again, they don't recognise it until we have a conversation around it and it's highlighted. And then we can start to work through it.
When you're working with these people and you start to see the red flags as well that we were talking about that show their body and mind may be less resilient to everyday pressures and maybe they're indulging too much in coffee, alcohol, snacking, etc. How do you support them to connect the dots and to realize that all of those things that they're experiencing, like their digestive issues, their distractibility, their poor sleep, could be really connected to what they're eating and their habits and how they're living?
And so I work in very small changes. So incrementally, we'll start to replace. So caffeine, for example, we'll have a cutoff point. So maybe midday and no caffeine from that point onwards and encourage them to switch to something like herbal tea or just water. And very quickly, they feel that within themselves. They'll report back, yeah, I fell asleep a lot easier or I slept all night and I didn't wake up. And then we make incremental changes in their diet, so reducing the amount of sugar that's in there. And then I like to encourage people to start to feel into what their natural hormones feel like. We should experience a natural uplift in cortisol in the morning because that's what gets us out of bed. And it will naturally decrease towards the end of the day and then we fall asleep easily. But what some people can experience is what we call day-night reversals. So they don't have enough cortisol in the morning to get them out of bed. And then they start to experience this a peak in cortisol right at the moment where they should be winding down for bed. So they are often lying awake, wired and racing thoughts. Pointing that out to someone, helping them recognise that we can help to support that reversal back to what their body, what was naturally intended.
Explain for our listeners today what you mean by cortisol.
So
a hormone.
Yeah, cortisol is a stress hormone. So it's made by the adrenal glands and the adrenals fit on top of the kidneys. And there's also adrenaline and noradrenaline. So cortisol is released as a stress hormone in moments of where we need to mobilize the body. So listeners will probably be familiar with fight or flight. And that is part of our genetic biology. It's within us to enable us to outrun a danger. So all the blood floods through extremities and we're able to escape from that impending danger. We don't live in those times now, but what we do still experience is still the same effect on our body. So we might be stuck in traffic, wait for a meeting, late to pick up the kids from nursery. We've then got conflicting pressures in life as well, which is quite common. So we might have elderly and poorly parents. We've got financial worries, health worries. All of that cumulative stress on the body means that we may be stuck in fight or flight and not recognise it. So that's when we can start to see those red flags. So the racing heart rate, the heart palpitations, panic attacks, sleepless nights. So helping individuals to recognise that it's a physiological response. The body is doing what it's designed to do. It is not helpful in the long term because that's what contributes to chronic stress, where it becomes a learned, adapted physiology.
And then that gives us all those symptoms that you mentioned and those signs like the cortisol belly, that accumulation around the belly, because the body's holding onto that weight, thinking it's going to be threatened by something in the near future and wanting readily available energy to get access to. I'm understanding how you're connecting the dots for people. We're going to be talking a lot more about a calm approach to life with Jenna Nelson, revived active health expert and nutritional therapist, after a few messages from our commercial partners.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Dora Walsh on UK Health Radio on the show Nutrition For Me, and we're speaking with Jenna Nelson, Revive Active Health expert and nutritional therapist, talking about a calm approach to life. Now, Jenna, we've talked about all the reasons why people should be tuning in today. They're feeling like they have a lot on their plate, relationships, work pressures, family pressures, life pressures, and maybe they're suffering a few of the red flags. So they have digestive issues or high blood pressure, poor sleep, if we're distracted. Maybe the hair's falling out. Maybe they have fat around the belly, a muffin top, a more emotional, irritable, panic attack. The list goes on and is endless. And also people are using things to cope as well. What are your thoughts? Let's talk about the statistics in the UK.
Dora, so at Revive Active, we've looked at the most common stressors for adults in the UK, and at 41% of respondents, they reported that feeling tired and not getting enough sleep was the biggest contributor for stress. And then down from that, 38% said that money and their finances were the biggest contributor. And then on from that is 34% with family and relationship issues. So it's interesting that we see that sleep, again, is a big factor for people not feeling well rested and not well slept.
Major. I see that a lot in my clinic. I used to have sleep problems myself, all because I felt like I had too much on my plate. I was overstimulated.
Yeah, tired and wired.
And do you think women suffer more than men?
We saw that in the statistics, actually. So 50% of the respondents were women who said that they felt tired and not getting enough sleep. And around about 31% of men report. So that's interesting.
From these statistics, it looks like women are a bit more susceptible to that cause of stress, feeling tired, not getting enough sleep, and that being a major source of stress.
Definitely, yeah.
So you then went on to talk about money and finances at 36%, family and relationships, 34%. What about health?
Yeah, that came in at 32%, which is interesting. So it's clearly on people's minds that their health is a factor, but they may not know what to do about it. And that in and of itself can cause some stress or anxiety for individuals that they don't know what to do or where to turn.
It is a major source of stress, especially if you have symptoms and you don't know what's causing them, you don't know what to do, or if you've had a diagnosis, that can be extremely stressful.
Of course, yeah.
Worry about what is your health trajectory, what's going to happen to me, how am I going to provide for my family? Health is major. And as people get older, they start to value their health more. But maybe if they haven't looked after their health, it starts to fail. And that is a major source of stress. So it does remind us that we do need to look after ourselves. What about workload? I thought workload might be top of the list. What do people say about their work?
They have reported overall 28% of respondents referred to their workload. But again, we see a higher percentage in women. So 31% of women reported stress around their workload, with 25% of men reporting. So again, we see that disparity between women and men.
Especially because from what I've read, women are obviously are much more in the working world now. But on top of that, they're still doing the lion's share of the childcare and the stuff at home. I'm not saying that applies to every single family, but they seem to have more on their plates.
Yes, yeah.
See, there's been a lot going on in the news as well. And we talked about global events, political events. It seems that what's going on in the world could be a source of stress, in my opinion. But what did you find in your research?
Yeah, so we looked at the Euromonitor's Voice of the Consumer, so a health and nutrition survey. And what the statistics showed is that 39% of Gen Z, so people born from 1997 onwards, experienced stress. And then, interestingly, 36% of millennials reported the same. So that's individuals born between 1981 to 96. And then as we move through the generations, so Generation X, those born between 1965 and 1982, only 29% of those respondents said that they felt the severe impact on their everyday life. And then when we get to the baby boomers, so those born from 1946 to 64, only 22% experienced stress. So the younger generations appear to be possibly more tapped in and maybe more aware of the effects of stress and anxiety on their body, and they're maybe more easily able to report on those than older generations.
I'm wondering if they've done this research in the past, if it was always the younger generation that felt stress.
Possibly.
Or it could be just the type of people that Generation Z are. They're, as you say, more tapped into what's going on in the world. They're worrying about economics, harder to get a house these days. Climate change is a big one on their list. Up with that, there's a lot, they're on technology all the time.
Yeah, I'd speak for myself personally, but as an older millennial, I remember a time in the early years of working where we didn't have access. So we didn't have the internet, we didn't have emails. I'm really aging myself now. But that life seemed very different to the sort of ecosystem that people are raised in now, where they only know technology. They don't know any other way to view how they get information. It's readily available, where it wasn't as readily available for me, certainly. I had to go to the library or look up books, whereas just now we have information at the tip of our fingers.
And everything is instant. To be instant yourself, respond immediately to messages, get things done quicker because the information is more readily available. Understand the information quicker, assimilate it quicker. Everything's speeding up, isn't it?
It is. And I know anecdotally the rates of burnout within millennials is quite high because of the pressure of and the mentality of just push through it and just keep going, and the belief that it's seen as a weakness or a failure if you somehow bow out or ask for help. So that mentality of just pushing through, it comes at a cost.
Yeah, definitely. It looks like that comparative report outlining generational stress seems that all the generations, with the exception of Gen X, are stating that their stress levels have increased over the past 5 years. It seems to be getting worse.
And I wonder if that is because of the access to technology, the information that we have access to 24/7, and the expectation to be on call, responding to emails, responding to texts. It's a lot of information for our brains to be processing at any one time.
And social media, which can be a source of enjoyment and relaxation, but also a source of addiction, another addiction.
Yeah, well, that was my thing. I would end up in a scroll hole and I would know that I was doing it, but I was almost just trying to process my day by just scrolling through content. And our brains are not designed to process that amount of different and varying content in such short amounts of time.
I find with a lot of the clients I have, these younger people, I'm not saying I'm not young, but they might be darker than me, and even much younger people, teenagers and children, they just are on their devices all the time, almost even not communicating with each other, maybe not even learning how to talk and deal with problems, a lot of comparison as well. And my other concern is that they seem to be exposed to this blue light. What are your thoughts on the impacts of blue light?
Yeah, so there's research to show that the impact of blue light can play around with melatonin. So that we need adequate levels of melatonin to help us fall asleep. So we're effectively telling our brain that we're still in daylight. The blue light mimics daylight. So again, for individuals that may be working late into the evening or scrolling on their phones just before bed, can they start to think about a shut-off time where they switch that device off and they then mitigate the amount of blue light that they're exposing their eyes to?
Because obviously it can affect the sleep, and then that obviously when you're not well rested, the body cannot deal with problems. The more that we can support the body to be resilient and to recover and repair overnight, the better that the body can fare in everyday life despite whatever comes its way.
Yes.
Now, there seems to be a taboo about stress. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah.
There seems to be a taboo around saying I'm stressed or saying one has a problem.
Yeah, and I think it's changing. I think more people are talking about it. I do definitely see a trend in, so Gen Z, so the sort of generation born from 97 onwards, are more, to me anyway, tapped into what they're feeling, what they're thinking. They recognise the signs maybe a lot quicker than older generations do, and they are joining the dots. And I wonder if it is because of social media, because more people are talking openly about the impacts of stress and anxiety.
It's almost like the younger ones, maybe they're more open, but the older ones.
Yeah, we've got some work to do.
Where they're finding, I'm okay, no problem, yeah, I'm absolutely fine, I'll say how they are, yes, fine. Because it's not the dumb thing to say, how are you, and say, actually, I'm suffering from...
No, it wasn't. And particularly in the UK, it was very much a put up and shut up. Everyone's feeling like this, don't complain, don't rock the boat, just get on with it. And personally, from having worked in clinic, that strategy doesn't work. It will bite you eventually.
We need to learn more about self-care, and I think we don't talk about it enough. So it's important to get that message out there. Maybe some people are not so honest or open. There are many things we can do, which we are going to be talking about in the show. Tell us about the body's reaction to stress. You mentioned, we talked about some of the red flags, but is all stress bad?
We have to be careful around that, because the body needs a certain amount of stress to get out of bed. So your body needs to produce cortisol, which is a stress hormone, but in an amount that is helpful. It gets you out of bed in the morning. And then there are stressors that we can't see. So illness, infections, allergies, intolerances, these raise inflammation within the body, which creates a stress environment. So we can't see those. Yeah, so we need to recognise that within individuals and help them join the dots.
Yeah, I think a bit of the stress that kind of gets you out of bed in the morning because you've got a deadline or you've got to get to work or pushes you through is a positive stress. I think without that, we might not move forward. But I guess the stress that runs you down and burns you out isn't good. And that continuous decretion of cortisol is going to make you tired and wired. And there is a cumulative effect, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think it's about having some healthy stress, if I could say. Is there such a thing as healthy stress?
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. So healthy stress is that shot of cortisol that gets you out of bed in the morning. It focuses you, it focuses the mind, and you can go about your day and get on and tick off the projects that you want to do. I've worked with individuals who are in, we would call, adrenal burnout. So they are now bedbound. They cannot get out of bed. We can see that in their blood work. We can see that their adrenals are not releasing sufficient amounts of cortisol and adrenaline to get them mobilized in their day.
It's hard. Now, we're going to be talking a lot more about a calm approach to life with Jenna Nelson, a bioactive health expert and nutritional therapist, after a few messages from our commercial partners.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Dora Walsh on UK Health Radio on the Nutrition for Me show. I'm speaking with Jenna Nelson this week on a calm approach to life. She's a revive active health expert and nutritional therapist. It's great talking over these topics with you, Jenna, because this is really important. I think we all need to learn about taking a calm approach to life, because how can we steady the ship?
Yeah, I love that phrase, Dora, because it's the visualization of that. It's just perfect for me. So for me, it's about helping individuals cultivate inner resilience. And so we're not saying that we can mitigate stress, because none of us can do that. We can't really control the external factors. But what we can control is our response to them internally, recognizing where you may have coping mechanisms. Just bringing awareness to it is powerful, because that will allow you to start joining the dot. And then trying some habit replacement. So as I said earlier, if you know that you rely on caffeine, try and implement a cutoff point and then introduce something that's not caffeinated in the afternoon. And then the knock-on nice effect of that is that you will probably notice that your sleep improves. And getting outside, so that daylight, early morning daylight, really helps to set the circadian rhythm. So you're exposing your eyes to that daylight, and then in the evening, if you can then implement a cutoff from technology as well, so that you're mitigating the amount of exposure your eyes and brain is exposed to that blue light, and talking. So we were mentioned this earlier, the Gen Zs are great, so we should follow their lead. We should be talking more about how we feel, what we're thinking. And that then might prompt the person that you're talking to share what they're going through too. And then physically, we want to be making sure that we are eating enough protein. So protein provides the building blocks of those neurotransmitters that we want to support. So our dopamine, serotonin and GABA. We want to keep those nice and healthy and happy. And then looking at sugar, again, I mentioned that earlier, just bringing awareness to how much and where sugar appears in your diet, and can you start to reduce that?
I love everything you're saying. What about the natural plant solutions that people can try? If we want to steady the ship and we want to use plant solutions or nutrition or herbs as a remedy just to support ourselves through that time, it's more than just a chamomile tea, isn't it?
Yes.
Chamomile tea, by the way, I'm a big fan. I grew up on that. But there's so much out there today, and it'd be lovely to know about those natural plant solutions that people can try.
So something like saffron, which I'm really interested in at the moment. So we can use saffron in a therapeutic dose, which means that it's a high enough potency to have a therapeutic effect. So saffron supports serotonin and dopamine. So that helps us with focus and a sense of reward. And it helps to modulate GABA. So GABA is that really nice calming neurotransmitter that I like to think of as a comforting hug. So that really helps support GABA. And when we support GABA, that helps us to sleep restfully and in a restorative way. So the bioactives in saffron contribute to that calming effect. And we know that it improves emotional balance too.
We don't hear much about saffron because it hasn't gone so mainstream. But is this in one of the Revive Active products?
It's in the CAM capsules, which as a practitioner, I'm really excited to see because, like you say, Dora, we don't see it. And there's more emerging research to show just how supportive it is. And people will know that they can add saffron to their cooking. But to have it in a capsulated form in a therapeutic dose is really exciting.
So your CAM product from Revive Active, it had saffron. And what other actives does it contain on the plant world?
We've got ashwagandha in there as well, which again, I love ashwagandha in clinic. So it's what is known as an adaptogenic herb. So for an individual who might be feeling tired and wired, it brings that individual back to a place of balance. Now each person is different. So my set point of balance will be different to yours. So that herb will naturally adapt to whatever that individual needs. So the research shows that it reduces cortisol, and it helps to maintain balanced levels of cortisol as well. And by lowering cortisol, it's then supporting healthy levels of dopamine and serotonin. So dopamine is the neurotransmitter that contributes to feelings of reward and focus. And serotonin is a feeling of contentment and safety that helps with mood regulation, sleep and cognitive function.
I think that so many people can benefit from that.
For sure, yes.
And what you were saying about the feeling of contentment, reward, focus, this is what everybody needs. What about your other one? Is it lemon balm?
Yeah, I really want to look into growing lemon balm because you can make a nice tea out of it. But yeah, the CAM capsules have lemon balm in it again. And the amount that's in it, it means that it's fast acting. So it works within the hour. So it has a cumulative effect. And what that's doing is enhancing GABA again. So it's promoting the feelings of calm and relaxation. So to know that within the hour, you've got access to that feeling of calm and contentment, and then with it being cumulative too. So the longer you take it, the better the benefits are.
It's useful because sometimes you're finding it maybe hard at the time. It's good to know there's something that you can take that within an hour is going to make you feel maybe a bit different, hopefully. And then over time, if you take it for a while, because normally with supplements, we take them for a while to see the benefit. And the cumulative effect is going to keep on improving, hopefully. Do you have any minerals or vitamins in that formulation, or is it focused on herb?
Yeah, we've got in there magnesium biglycinate, which again, as a practitioner, I'm really happy to see. So that form of magnesium is bioavailable, so it means the body can readily use it, and it's highly absorbable. And we know that this form supports sleep and relaxation, and it's gentle on the GI tract as well. So some individuals may have taken a form of magnesium before and it's caused maybe some GI distress. We know that magnesium biglycinate is gentle, which is good for consumers. And then we've got B vitamins. And again, like the other products, the B vitamins are methylated. So that means it's the active form. The individual's body is not having to go through that extra step of conversion. They're taking an active form that their body can use. So people might not know when we're in a state of stress, high stress, we churn through B6, particularly if we're producing a lot of adrenaline. So to know that there's a capsule that you can take that's helping to support that balance is fantastic.
They are not the B vitamins, but they're so supportive for the nervous system. And I love the fact that you say they're methylated, because I don't know if many people know, but there's some people, they don't always convert the vitamins into the active form as effectively, but just something to be aware of. The fact that it's methylated means that potential problem's taken out of the equation. The body's going to get access to that nutrient very easy, very quickly, so that it can go to do its work. And we know that with our B vitamins, apart from B12, we don't store them in the body.
We don't, yeah. And if we are stressed, we tend to churn through them really quickly.
So you're seeing people that have all these symptoms. Sometimes, I'm not saying all the time, or sometimes more often than others, it's to do with these deficiencies. So it's always important to support ourselves nutritionally. We're not saying don't go to the doctor. But if you can support yourself nutritionally, it can make a big difference. And it can't do any harm. So that's the plus point. And that nutrition is so transformative in the way it can shift your body in terms of how it's feeling and change your life, really, because you just feel healthier and you can take on much more and you can deal with life. I love the synergy of all the different things that you have in that formulation between the herbs, the magnesium, as what nutritional therapists like to call nature's tranquilizer, and the B are so supportive to the nervous system. I guess you would be advising people to eat a healthy diet and support their lifestyle as well alongside the supplement.
Of course, yeah. Leading with a food-first approach is paramount. And then, as they sound, are supplemental. So if we can look at diet, you mentioned about B vitamins. Can we start to look at if we've got adequate B vitamins in there, if we've got magnesium-rich foods? Can we start to reduce alcohol depletes nearly every nutrient in the body, particularly B vitamins? So can we start to reduce that with our nervous system in mind? So we're starting to think about nourishing our nervous system and building that inner resilience.
And for the CAM capsules, how many of those would you take? What's the dosage for the capsules?
Yeah, it's such a lovely formulation. So it's 2 capsules a day. So it's simple.
People can get the supplements from your website, reviveactive.com. And we do have a code, Radio20, where UK Health Radio listeners can get that 20% off. Where else are they sold?
So we are in WH Smith travel outlets across the major UK airports, select Holland and Barrett stores, some Well pharmacies, Whole Foods, Revital, and then independent health stores and pharmacies.
Jenna, thank you for coming on the show. It's been wonderful having you.
Thanks for having me, Dora.
Thank you. Listeners, I really hope you've enjoyed listening to the show as much as I've enjoyed presenting it. Please join us again next week on the Nutrition for Me show on UK Health Radio, your global feel-good radio. Today's show is brought to you in association with Revive Active, our show sponsor, Ireland's number one super supplement brand. Enjoy Revive Active's range of super supplements and feel great. Revive Active have teamed up with UK Health Radio to offer listeners an exclusive discount so you can test their supplement for yourself and start to feel super. Just go to reviveactive.com and use Radio20 to get 20% off their entire range, including their capsule collection, including Calm. Till next time, thank you and goodbye.